I wondered how I was going to approach something tonight that needs to be said and how I could say it in the proper way. When Robbie was up here, he talked about being stretched, the importance of our being stretched. And we needed to stretch more than we did this morning. And so I'll just leave that thought of stretching with you as we prepare our hearts to look at God's word tonight. Everybody say stretched. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This very vital verse. This verse has meant so much to me recently. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And shall talk of them when you're sitting in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and the eye, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verse 7, something so vital and important. You shall teach them diligently to your children. We need to be teaching diligently our children in the area of finances. What I want to talk to you tonight is about tithing, offerings, and first fruits. For within these lies the master secret to wealth and abundance and the challenge to see the invisible become visible before our very eyes. Once you tap into the powerful source of the tithe, you'll never want to skip tithing again. It'll be the driving force that propels prosperity, favor, and increase to explode in your life. It's an undeniable fact that God will bring great abundance into the life of those who take his command of tithing and sowing financial seed. Everyone should take God's challenge to his great command to give 10% of their income back to him. In return, God promises to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there won't be room enough for us to receive, that he would rebuke the devourer for our sakes and not allow him to spoil the vine, that you would become so wealthy and blessed. So wealthy and blessed. That you would become so wealthy and blessed that others would call you blessed. The promise of God is that you be so wealthy and so blessed. How many would like to be that way? Others would call you blessed. And I am encouraged and trust you'll be inspired to reach out and trust God for the blessings he so desires to pour upon your life. That you'd be challenged tonight to reach deep inside yourself. Take a good look at the person you call you. To explore the feelings and depths from your inner being that you never knew existed before. Now, this is not just about creating financial wealth, but it's about helping each one of us to reach out, stretch, and hit your peak performance to help you get to the next level of success in your life. Now, I know when you go into any church, there's some people that are hurting, confused, surrounded by self-doubt, pain, and adversity. And some that say, well, I've given to God, but I haven't seen the blessings come back into my life. And so I want to share with you a hope and a light that no matter what you are going through right now, that God will lead you to desire to become all you can be in this life on earth. And I want you to go to 3 John 2. 3 John 2. I know you're familiar with the passage of Scripture, but I wanted to read it to you from Strong's translation. 3 John 2. My beloved children, it is my desire above everything else that you prosper in life, succeed in business, enjoy good health, and be diligent about prospering your soul. I like that. My beloved children, it is my desire above everything else that you prosper in life, succeed in business, enjoy good health, and be diligent about prospering your soul. There was a gentleman named Alexander Kerr who was saved under the ministry of Moody. In subsequent reading, it came across the vow of Jacob in Genesis 28, where Jacob prayed. He says, of all that you shall give me, I will surely give the tithe unto you. Listen to that. Of all that you give me, I'll give a tenth back to you. Of all that you give me, I'll give back a tenth. In fact, go to Genesis 28. Genesis 28, beginning at verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in the way that I'm going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I've set as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give you a tenth to you. In essence, if you really look at what Jacob was saying there, he says, this is the basis of the relationship I have with God. God, he provides my needs to me in return. Out of all he provides, I give back the tithe, or I give back a tenth to him. 20 years later, the same Jacob returned to his home with servants and cattle in great abundance. He became one of the wealthiest and most powerful men in the East as a result of keeping this covenant of tithing with the Lord God. Now, with some doubts, but with a sincere desire to test if the Bible is true, to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's a personal God and that his promises are from everlasting to everlasting and that they're intended for people today, Kerr made a covenant to tithe to God. At that time, he had a little house, he had a mortgage on that house, owed many financial obligations and was burdened with cares and worries about finances, yet he made a covenant to tithe. He was determined to prove God as Jacob did. Mr. Kerr often remarked that if modern-day skeptics wanted proof that there's a God, and that the Bible is true, His holy word, and it's all of His promises are true, all that is necessary for you to do is to tithe for 1 year, and God will prove to them without doubt that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Within 3 months after he began to tithe, unexpected and unforeseen blessings came to him so much that it seemed to him that God had opened his eyes to behold his love and faithfulness to his promises, especially in regard to tithing. That same year, because of the blessings that came, Kerr, with a very small capital, but with a strong faith in God's tithing promises contained in Malachi 3, verses 10 to 12, and you write that down, you're familiar with it, started the firm Kerr Glass Manufacturing Company. The firm became one of the largest selling fruit jar companies in the United States. Its manufacturing plant was in San Francisco. He planted every cent that he had after he tithed into the fruit jar enterprise, and then came the San Francisco earthquake. His friends told him he was a ruined man. He replied back, I don't believe it. Or if I am, the Bible's not true. I know that God will not go back on his promises. He received a wire from San Francisco. Your factory is in the heart of the fire and undoubtedly is destroyed. The heat is so intense, there's absolutely no way we'll be able to find out anything for some days to come. What a time of testing. But his faith in the Lord never wavered. He believed in Malachi chapter 3:11 that God would rebuke the devourer for the tither's sake, and he stood on that promise unmoved. About a week after the earthquake and fire, a second telegram arrived saying, everything for a mile and a half on all sides of the factory burned, but your factory is miraculously saved. Mr. Kerr immediately boarded a train for San Francisco. His factory was a two-story wooden building containing huge tanks where the glass was melted. Those tanks were kept at 2,500 degrees temperature. Oil was used as a fuel, and therefore his building was the most inflammable in the entire city. Fire raged on all sides of the glass factory, creeping right up to the fence surrounding the building and even scorched it. Then the flames and fire leaped around it, over it, and beyond the building, burning everything in its path. However, not even the wooden fence was burned, not the building, and not a single glass jar was cracked by either the earthquake or the fire. Nothing short of a miracle. God's divine power in protecting this man who held his faith in the promise made to those who tithe, that his promises would never be broken. God's promises will never be broken. Amen? Amen. Every business adventure after that, he was involved in tithe. His return to him was so great, the abundance was so great, that he affected ministries and lives around the world. This example verifies promises that he's made to any person, anywhere, anytime, whether religious or otherwise. If that person will, financially, if you'll accurately, systematically, and continue to give a tenth to the Lord's work, he will be blessed. That's why Jewish people are so blessed, because they tithe. Amen? If you are a believer, the blessing of tithing will not only be financial, but also physical, mental, and most of all, deeply spiritual. And we can look at numerous examples, such as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to name a few, as well as J.C. Penney, Paul Meyer, John D. Rockefeller, and the list goes on. Scripturally, the tithe belongs to the local church, the place where you're fed. This is where many people really lose it and want to pay their tithes to outside ministries, to struggling families, elderly people, school tuition, to the church back home, or the church they grew up in. I even heard of one fellow that put his tithe aside so he could buy his Christian books and CDs. Now, there's no question that we can support some of these, but such support should come out of the portion of offerings and not the tithe. I know without a shadow of doubt that if you make a covenant to tithe and follow God's biblical plan, that God will completely bless and impact your life beyond your wildest dreams. Now, understand that the devil will try everything within his ability to stop you from tithing. He knows once you get this principle of tithing work in your life, there's no stopping you from drastically damaging his kingdom. In the beginning, you may face some challenges. In fact, it may seem like things get worse instead of better when you start to tithe. But remember this. Think about it. It's always the devil's plan to try to destroy things in their infancy. He did it in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He tried with Joseph and Moses, with the Lord Jesus Christ. He tries it with new believers, and that's why it's so important that we keep our contact going with them. But if you stick it out, God will prove true, and your life will never be the same. There's an entire host of blessing waiting for every individual that tithes. And let me say this to you. The best thing you can do for yourself, the best thing you can do for your children, the best thing you can do for your finances, the best thing you can do for the church, your church, the best thing you can do for your pastor, the best thing you can do for the world is to become a faithful tither and giver. Now, I'd like to have three volunteers. I want to take one from this side here. Somebody volunteer to come up? Okay, come on up. I'm going to pick the volunteer on this side here. Could I have somebody help the woman with the walker in the pink there? Could you come up? And if I could have somebody from these two sections here. That's quick. Okay. Let me have those. Need you. Ma'am, why don't you come and pick a jar?
Sir.
Just point out a jar that you'd like to have out of the three. The one in the middle? Are you sure about that, or do you want to change your mind and take door one and take door three? So you're picking the one in the middle, okay? Who was next here? The one in the middle is gone. Which one do you want? The one on the end here. You don't get a choice. One there, that one there is yours. Would you open that up? Charlie was so helpful, he went and got Kerr glasses for me. Let's open this up and see what's in it. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, $10. Okay, and what are you going to do with that?
Probably help somebody with it.
Okay, what about the tithe?
Sir.
What about the tithe? What about the tithe?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so how much is the tithe?
A dollar.
A dollar. Let's take a dollar out. We'll put a dollar to go in the offering. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Okay, you're next, sir. Oh, a big, big winner. 10 dimes. So how much is the tithe?
I'm going to give it all.
No, I don't want to. I don't want you to give it all. You can do that later, but.
Okay.
So how many dimes? There's 10?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be one dime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. God bless you. And I'm glad. Did you give them the lid back? Or there we go. There's no extra paper in this one because it doesn't rattle. So the tithe is how much? Okay, let me ask you all a question. Who gave the most? They all gave the same. They all gave 10%. So of all that what came to them, whether it was a dollar, $10, or $50, everyone gave proportionally, gave the 10% to God. It's that simple. So simple, I don't understand why people keep falling over it. Out of all you give to me, I will return a tenth to you. Amen?
Yeah.
God bless you. Thank you. Give them a hand.
I think you just put a quarter down. I need 3/4 down.
Well, we put a dollar down.
Jesus. And so she said, well, just look at me. And he is 5 years old. And so he looked at her and he said the sinner's prayer. He said, now, Nanny, he felt the power of God because he said, now, Nanny, I can beat up anybody. I said, no, it's like that you can that's the power of God, of Jesus. What you do is pray for people. So whenever we would go start to church up here, well, he'd catch my hand and say, Nanny, let's pray. So I'd start praying. He said, no, let's really pray. So we'd get to praying, and so he would pray for his cousin that they wouldn't get a whooping, and he'd pray for other people and everything. And when we'd come, well, he'd sit there on the seat, and Brother Bob, he'd say, get your Bible. And so he'd get my Bible, and he'd sit there and hold it. And he said, now, if you need the Holy Ghost, will you come down? Well, he started down, and he said, no, I can't go. I said, yeah, go on down there. And so he just, you know, and God told me, he said, whatever you teach him, he'll never forget it. Because we would pray, we'd go out to the back of the pond out behind my house, and so I'd sit there and read while he was fishing, and nobody was catching anything. He said, Nanny, I'm not catching anything. And I said, well, how big do you want to catch? He said, a 12-inch. I said, no, I don't have that much faith. And he said, a 6-inch. I said, throw your hook in. He throwed it in, and that little 6-inch fish came out, and kids started running. What'd you do? What'd you do? But, you know, and so the next day, well, my other two grandkids came because they had a pond up at their house. So he went out there, and so he come back in, and he said, Nanny, we need you out there. And I said, why? And he said, we're not catching no fish. And I said, well, Nanny's got to fix dinner. Y'all just go back out there. So he had a bucket out there. So I said, Jesus said, much as two agree on earth, asking anything, God will give it to you. So we prayed, and he went back out there, and they caught 39 little catfish about 2 feet long, 2 inches long. And so, you know, it's just God, he will answer. He said, ask, hallelujah to God. You know, this week I want to tell you something. God will do anything. I called the church, hallelujah, because my commode was, it was stopped up. And so I said, Lord, you got to help me. And so anyway, they prayed and everything. And you know what? My friend, she said, would you come over and stay with me? Because she had a car wreck and she had cancer. But you know what? I said, Lord, I said, you said in your word, have faith in God, that you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in sin, not doubt in your heart. Whatever things you say shall come to pass. Whatever things you desire when you pray shall be done. And I went over there and I prayed on that. Hallelujah to God. And when before that I went to her house, well, I fleshed it, and it just fleshed perfect. Hallelujah. God would do anything. He said, I will perfect everything that concerns you. Hallelujah to God. And he does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, let's take a look at giving. Luke 6:38, please. I'm reading from the New Living Testament. Luke 6:38, given you will receive, your gift will return to you in full. Given you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount that comes back. It's pretty straightforward.
Amen.
Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will be determining the amount that comes back. Amen. As we begin to release finances into the kingdom of God, the channel is now open for the blessings of God to flow into your life and flow through you to touch the lives of other people. Take a look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, 29. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, who shall not receive 100 now fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. You know, it's amazing when I was putting this together, back in 1997, I was preaching a 100-fold return message all around the world. And it took my level of faith to such a height, that I was receiving 100-fold. And you almost kick yourself and say, hey, dummy, why did you stop doing that? Because there was so much more to pour into the kingdom of God, that 100-fold return. Let's look at when you surrender yourself, this is saying when you surrender yourself to Jesus and have given up holding on to things, you'll receive 100 times in this fullness lifetime. Amen? Amen? Praise God. God promises when you sow some 30, 60, and 100-fold. And one of the most fascinating scriptures on giving is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you'll go there. Second Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. God doesn't want any of us giving reluctantly or in response to pressure. Verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a what? A cheerful giver. God is able to make all the grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Say, his righteousness. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you've sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberty, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Just take your Bibles in for a moment, and let's go to Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32, 16, verse 16. Justice will rule in the wilderness and righteousness in the fertile field. And this righteousness will bring peace. Yes, it'll bring quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in safety, quietly at home. They will be at rest. Even if the forest should be destroyed and the city torn down, the Lord will greatly bless his people. Wherever they plant seed, bountiful crops will spring up. Wherever you sow seed, bountiful crops will spring up. And the Word of God declares that you will live in peace. Hallelujah. Even if they destroy cities, towns are torn down, the Lord will greatly bless his people. That makes a reference to 2 Corinthians. Now, it's an amazing thing that when we talk about the tithe, offerings, or first fruits giving, God promises to equate to every aspect of your family life. Blessing will come to your family life, your financial life, your health, social life, banking accounts, saving accounts, business, and anything else that relates to you will be blessed and increased beyond your wildest dreams. That's everything. Everything will be blessed. Now, this is a promise, and if this is true, why are not more people who give experiencing the blessings of God? I'm sure there are many reasons, as there are people. However, the main reason outside of the ignorance of the promises is they allow the circumstances of life and the smoke screens of the enemy to get their eyes off the promise and onto the problems. How many have ever been there? Now, I love this little trick that Don Boyer uses. Let me quote in his word as first persons. One little trick that I do when I'm going through a storm is to imagine myself flying a small airplane. There's lightning all around me. Thunder is crashing. Lights in the cabin are flickering. Rain is belting on my windshield, and the wind is tossing my small plane like a salad. But I know that as long as I keep the nose of the plane pointing up, I'll rise above the storm and fly in clear skies. The storm wants to bring my plane down, but I look upwards towards the promise. When you're going through a storm, keep the nose of the plane up. God's word are the promises, the landmarks that will guide you past the storm. The Holy Spirit would want you to receive this word. Don't look at what you're going through. Look at where you're going to. Don't look at what you're going through, but look at what you're going to. And don't get caught up with timing. For the time is the element that God uses to germinate and bring forth your manifested blessing. Time is a great thing, because that's what bringing your miracle together. So the tithe opens up the windows of heaven, and giving brings great multiplication. Now let's look at the awesome principle of first fruits. I want to deal with three or four key verses. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23, looking at verse 9. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and you shall wave that before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it." The whole idea there was, as I said this morning, when the harvest was just starting to come up, people would go out and take a sheaf of wheat or barley or whatever it was and present it to the Lord. And that offering or that sheaf was considered holy and blessed, sanctified. And because it was accepted and holy, the rest of the harvest was guaranteed as being holy, accepted by God. And so they protected the harvest to come in by giving their first fruits or their sheaves unto the Lord. And how many here want that full harvest that God has for you? Amen. Let's look at Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. Let's start looking at verse 19. "The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God." Looking at verse 1. "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and bring you into the place which I have prepared for you." God, it says, he'll give you your miracle. How many want the miracle that God has for you today? Amen. Skip down to verse 2. "I'll be an enemy to your enemies and the adversary to your adversary." God is going to protect you. Skip down to verse 24. Excuse me, verse 25. "So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. Blessing and prosperity are promised to you when you bring first fruits. I will take sickness out of the midst of you." Anybody here sick? You need a touch from the Lord? Just bow our heads for a moment. Raise your hand if you need a touch from God tonight. But God, Father God, we thank you as we deal with first fruits, that you see the hands raised, those that need healing. Father God, we speak healing now to their bodies. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 26, these are all promises for first fruit. "No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land." That's why we pray for those who are unable to have children or have been unable to have children. And we see many children around the world that have been born because of first fruits offering. "I will fulfill the number of your days." Hallelujah. You'll not die before your time. Now that means a lot to me. I don't know whether it means this to you, praise God, but it means a lot to me. Verse 30. "Little by little I will drive them out from before you until you've increased and you shall inherit the land." God promises you increase and inheritance. How many want increase and inheritance? Amen. Then go to Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 9 and 10. "Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." And as I said earlier, this equates to every aspect of your family life, your financial life, your health life, your social life, your bank accounts, your saving accounts, your business. Anything else that relates to you will be blessed. That's everything. Now, one last thing I want to deal with is we walk by faith. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Looking at verse 6. Without faith, it is what? It's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's a promise. I believe strongly that God wants you to take the faith step and allow him to give you a lifetime of wealth and increase. When you put your first fruits offering into the bucket, it jumps right out of the bucket into the future to produce abundance for you, so that when you get to your tomorrows, your increase in blessings are always waiting for you. Amen. I was going to ask for a fourth volunteer, but the Lord sort of ministered to me earlier and spoke to me. And Dan, can you bring your wife and your son up? Go ahead and open it. Want to reach in and take it out? Take the jar from in.
Man, I can really use this. He said, I could really use this. That's $100, buddy.
So what's our tithe?
How much is a tithe?
10 cents.
Close.
Close.
Ten what?
$10.
$10.
Very good, buddy. You give him $10? Awesome.
Now, I want to give you this back, and everybody that got one of these jars. This is a Kerr jar. So every time you put your loose change in here, your dollar bills in here, remember the testimony that he had, how God moved in his life. And you can see God continue to bless in your life. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You're going to take care of that, are you?
All right. You're going to hold on to that?
Bless the Lord. Praise God. One last thing, always remember to point your seed. Always remember to point your seed. I don't know why. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. But I'm an expert in experiencing it. God allows you to plant a seed in response to a need. When you plant a seed tonight and point that thing towards your bills being paid, God is going to move miraculously. See, bills and debt eliminated. This has happened all over the world. The largest amount of debt that I've seen come forward is $27 million at one time. God moves miraculously to eliminate debt. Whenever you share what we've shared tonight on finances, somebody always comes up and makes this dumb statement. You're trying to buy something from God. Someone has that opinion, you need to go and sit in the back row. How can you possibly buy something from the God who wants to give it to you more than you want to receive it? Amen. The desire, the longing, the heart is to give God your very best. The longing of the God's heart is to give you the very best. Amen. And when you begin to act in faith with your finances according to God's revealed plan, your finances become God's responsibility. How many understand that? When you use God's principles, your finances become his responsibility. They're no longer your responsibility. but they're God's responsibility. I'd like you to bow your heads, if you would, please. And if you're a tither to the true sense of the word and give offerings, just step up your hand. Everybody's got their head bowed and their eyes closed. Praise God. Keep your hands up. Because you're committed to tithe and give offerings, you'll have the opportunity to start walking in the supernatural power of God. You'll walk with a mantle of increase upon your shoulders and can boldly say, my hands are created to produce wealth. One of the things that you'll begin to notice as you follow the steps laid out by the Lord is that you will be given supernatural faith and insight of His Word. You'll see things in the Word that you've never seen before. Those revelations will begin to lift your soul into the heights of glory that no man can describe. You'll have supernatural insight to the presence and the workings of God and supernatural encounters with the Lord. Amen. So when you come tonight with your bills and present an offering towards that, believe that you're going to receive the mantle of increase come on your life. Now, we want to give, first of all, the people that weren't here this morning or were here this morning and didn't do their first fruits offering and want to do that offering tonight to come up first. If you need a first fruits card, just slip up your hand and the ushers will see that you get one. So anybody that didn't get the opportunity this morning to come up, let me encourage you to be stretched. And as we pray for you and as you give your first fruits commitment, we're going to believe that any debt that you have will be totally and completely eliminated. And then after we pray for them, we'll pray for others that you can bring your bills up. Give an offering that you've committed as part of your first fruits. In other words, you made a first fruits commitment. What you give in your offering tonight will be towards that commitment. Okay? And we'll pray for your bills and debt to be eliminated. Now, you have to exercise faith. And when I lay hands on you tonight, the supernatural power of God is going to explode on the inside of you. Miraculous things are going to start to happen. You're going to have the mantle of increase come upon your life. And you're going to see debt, mortgages eliminated so that you can be saving all that interest that's paid out and start using it more for the kingdom of God. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Would you come and sing that last song again that we were singing that I can't think of the name of it right now. My mind's on what we're doing. Familiar one. Everybody just be in prayer. As I said, we need to be stretched. Not forced or pushed to give, but we need to be give cheerfully, but we also need to be stretched. We need to stretch our faith. I want to show you how marvelously I can sing. You go ahead. You stand behind me. Go ahead and sing.
I'll rise up like the eagle. I will soar with you. Your spirit leads me on by the power of your love.
I taught him everything he knows.
Hold me close. Let your love surround. My heart be changed, renewed, flowing from the grace,
in the mighty name of Jesus,
that I found in you.
That's like the dad and my mother too.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, just pray for us.
Lord, your will unfolds in my life, living every day by the power of
Thank you. receiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name. Holy Spirit, our God is three in one.
believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe.